Chris Jones is here. He's headed up a task force within the COVID relief efforts of caring for the most vulnerable in our population. Certainly a concern. We wanted to get an update on all of that. And he joins us now, head of the Department of Human Services in North Dakota. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on again, Scott.
You know, to the vulnerable population and to the task force, just to give me a sense of where you think, you know, is it a well-oiled machine now? Is it a work in progress? How are things going?
Well, I'd say it's in between the two, but I think we're getting more closely to a well-oiled machine in terms of how we're able to do things. We're obviously testing and working as one across the state. The facilities have done a great job in collaborating with the state. I think, you know, if you were to say what's my biggest concern right now is people are just tired. People are tired of the testing. And we don't have a solution to get around the testing at this point, because we do know if we don't stay in front of testing that you get the spread, and that's how the vulnerable do become sick and ill and ultimately, unfortunately, sometimes pass away. So until we can figure out a different model, testing seems to be the thing that's going to help eliminate the spread in these congregate living settings. But we have to keep looking at it. The other thing I'd want to update you on is CMS is likely releasing new guidelines as it relates to testing. So North Dakota was way out in front of everyone, as you know, as it relates to testing. And the CMS guidance is going to be some facilities across the country are going to be testing twice a week. Some facilities are going to be testing once a week. And those that don't have a lot of positivity, a positivity rate that's high in their county, will be testing once a month. But that being said, when you compare North Dakota to the other states, and I know that doesn't always feel, it doesn't answer the question, we're so far ahead of everyone else as it relates to protecting the vulnerable and long-term care.
At some point, I remember hearing something about a shipment of the test where you can get the results right away. What do you call those?
The SOFIA test, and the federal government has done those. They've started to show up at our facilities. The concern we have is they are not done in a CLIA lab. It's a CLIA waiver, which essentially means there's not the same level of education for the people performing the test. And we need to make sure if we're going to be doing those tests in those facilities that we are giving accurate results. So those have started showing up. We will be working with them, but we are going to continue to look at other solutions and to ensure we keep everyone safe and to continue to keep visitation open as much as possible.
But the beauty of those is you get your result right away, right? So that you, I guess the efficiency of okay, somebody's positive, boom, they're not coming in, is a lot better than they took the test, but, you know, they're in, and now who do they have contact with, right?
Correct. But there's also the concern about the test not being done correctly.
Right.
So you could have false positives and false negatives, and then that creates, quite frankly, even more, you know, conspiracy theories, for lack of a better term, in terms of what is the testing. We do know the PCR testing is the most accurate, and want to make sure people realize and put the trust in those tests, because we do know the vast majority of the time those are accurate tests.
PCR is the test that takes, 72 hours to get the results back, generally?
Correct. Yep, generally. The goal of the state has been 48 hours. I know the NDUS system has been having great turnaround times. We still have to work on it on long-term care, so we're continuing to focus in on how to best deliver those tests in a timely manner.
Are the testing protocols all handled by Department of Health and the apparatus?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, the general Dorman is overseeing?
Yeah, so, That being said, early on we did outsource to Mako in North Carolina, but that process is still run within the Department of Health, so that there is a connection between the Department of Health and Mako. And Mako's that lab out of North Carolina.
Gotcha. More with Chris Jones from the Department of Human Services today on What's on Your Mind. If you have a question or comment, certainly welcome. 800-228-0550. Tim on the road will get you in here too. Stay tuned. More coming up. More with Chris Jones, who heads up North Dakota's Department of Human Services, often referred to as the 800-pound gorilla of North Dakota government. It's big, and it does a lot, and it's a big job. Chris, when you took this job, you obviously didn't think there'd be a COVID-19, but explain how the COVID-19 efforts has either enhanced or detracted from your overall mission of what you're doing in bringing innovation to the Department of Human Services.
That's a great question. When I came to the Department of Human Services, I thought I was going to focus primarily on Medicaid, and thought Medicaid was, the greatest opportunity. And I would say that Medicaid is probably the easiest part of DHS, believe it or not. And so one of the things that has really become a focus, or realizing that we might not have the infrastructure to support, is around childcare. And even before childcare, or even before COVID, started to look at all the money that we were spending on schools and behavioral health and having kids not educated in childcare necessarily, but being ready to learn and to sit still and to listen to their teachers. And it always was coming back to, do we have the right childcare infrastructure? And so now with COVID, childcare has become even more important as more families are either working from home, or as now when school comes back in session, you have families that where children are going to be in school part-time and at home part-time. And how do we make all that work? And then you have child care centers who have stayed open during this entire time who are now saying, I don't know that I want to bring in children who were part of a hybrid learning plan into a whole new population of kids another 2 days a week. So this is going to be a time that we really need to look at how do we make sure that we are appropriately load balancing and making the right investments across the state of North Dakota, because we know it's not an endless pot of money, but we've got to be thinking on how we correctly invest so that North Dakota can remain great and have a strong economy. And part of that is having parents who can work. And so how is that supported going forward?
Answer your own question for me. What's job one in that regard?
Well, I look at it this way, and I'm not picking winners or losers here, but I look at the state of North Dakota. The insurance commissioner just finished a report that's going to come out that has North Dakota as the number one state for reimbursement for Medicaid, number one in the nation, and we have the number one growth rate in the nation as it relates to Medicaid reimbursement. As it relates to child care, we're 39th in the nation. And that's not necessarily from a reimbursement perspective. That's from a how we're organized and being able to serve families. So I look at that. I look at the fact that 95% of a child's brain, the synapses, are formed by the age of five, and we make virtually zero investment in those children up until five. And then we put in at least $10,000 of state funds through K-12. And then we put in another 700 some million in higher ed general fund dollars. So again, I'm not picking winners or losers. I would just say that if we're going to get a return on investment and set generations up for success, and want to reduce the behavioral health spend we have in schools and have those children ready to sit and pay attention to their teachers, I think we have to take a serious look at how dollars are invested.
Mark in Bismarck, question for Chris Jones. Go ahead. You're next. Mark, are you there? All right, I don't hear Mark. Mark, are you on mute by chance? I'm going to put him on hold, then you can chat with him again, Daniel, okay? Tim, you're next on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yes, my question isn't for him. I actually wanted to call and talk about the parade this weekend. Hats off to the organizers. They did a heck of a job. I got to tell you that right up front. But you were talking about the protesters on the bridge, and I was on the bridge firsthand when we came up. There were a group of protesters on the east side of the bridge, and they had comments for everybody that came by, but they weren't always the most pleasant things. It was F this, F that in front of kids, calling ladies with little kids names. It was disgusting to see how they were acting and treating these people as they were walking up. Then after the boat parade was done, there was a gentleman that come running up over the top of the bridge, and he was yelling, "Stop those two, stop those two." And there were two females that were walking towards the west. And here they had assaulted one of the ladies when they walked by. She was holding a Trump sign, and one of the protesters punched her in the face.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, kidding me.
Just kept walking. And There were some ladies that took off running. They stopped them, and they held them up or watched where they went, and then the cops did come, and they had them detained. Not sure what all happened after that. But, I mean, for the Bismarck Tribune and KX12 and KFYR-TV not doing more on this and showing the support that the community brought out and the good that was happening, there was no violence happening at all. And I just thought that it was really a disservice of the Bismarck Tribune, especially, and KFYR-TV.
I did see KFYR-TV, I think, or it was KX4, I forget what, but with some actual coverage. KFYR-TV, I think, beforehand.
I saw they both had some social media stuff. I didn't get to see the TV coverage itself.
There you go. I don't know if that was included there, but Tim, appreciate the call.
I mean, the Tribune, definitely absent. Absolutely.
Let's see if Mark is back here for Chris before we let him go. Mark and Bismarck, go ahead. Oh, you weren't? Okay. We can't hear Mark. We tried. We tried, Mark, for your question for Chris Jones. Chris, anything else you want to leave us with before we wrap up our conversation today?
No, I appreciate having the opportunity to share what's going on and helping keep everyone informed. So I always appreciate the time you offer me.
Well, thanks, Chris. Appreciate the opportunity to catch up and chat, and also in your leadership in keeping the most vulnerable population. The people nobody disputes, you know, wearing a mask for, helping any way they can, those that would be health compromised or of that older age, seasoned citizens. I won't call them senior. I'll just call them seasoned citizens, as well as everything you do at DHS. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.